You hear that, fans? Manny can't drink without making coherent thought. We are live.
You started the fucking show?
Yeah, I'm recording right now.
You literal piece of shit.
I'm not a Westboro Baptist Church member. Ooh, sorry.
Anyway, that is very true.
All right. Well, Manny,
what up, bitch?
The internet's a great place, right? Here on PWTR. It's been really kind to us, right?
Hell yeah, man. Hashtag PWTR. Happy Saturday. Whether you're listening to us in your car on the way to work for some reason on a Saturday, or you just tuned in for a weekend listen, we really appreciate you guys, because you guys, the fans, are where it's at.
Yes, indeed, they are where it's at. I'm trying to be hip when I'm not. So, yeah. All right. For real, though. If you're listening to this Saturday, you're going to get a little preview of the remix, or a review, because me and Manny, the internet has gifted us. We found a website linking us to a bootleg version of Payback 2016, and we're going to review it for you guys. So, because, you know, sometimes you don't want to watch a WWE pay-per-view because, like, oh, man, I got shit to do. I could get laid. I could drink a beer. I could do all kinds of stuff besides watch Payback. Maybe enjoy life a little bit better, because wrestling can be tiresome sometimes. We're here to help you out. We got the hookup. Holla if you hear me. So,
just a disclaimer, you know, we are not responsible for any misinformation that results out of this website.
Yeah, no, I mean, the website, we trust it, but at the same time, you can only trust, you know, a bootleg website, because I'm sure my computer is full of AIDS right now, so it is what it is. All right, so...
Get that Magic Johnson here.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are some drawbacks with watching the bootleg. We had to watch the pre-show, too, so we got to see Kalisto versus Ryback, which ended in a botch. Go figure. Manny, your thoughts on this match?
Man, it was just such a strange, surreal thing to see, like... Kalisto went down off of this nothing clothesline to Ryback with the pin, and Kalisto just forgot to kick out. He just kind of laid there, and the referee was like, one, two, fuck, three, and Ryback won. I don't even think Ryback was supposed to win, but he sure did get up like he was excited as shit to have one. But, yeah, it's just, you know, the fans, you could tell that they were looking at it like, this is bullshit. Kalisto, you fucked up.
Even the pre-show fans actually made it in the arena this time to see it, and I guess they didn't get a good. It wasn't a good match.
Well, I mean, this isn't a fucking billion people trying to get into a Dallas arena.
That is true, but at the same time, it is what it is. The match wasn't very good. It was really short because of the obvious botched finish. That's why it plays into Manny's theory that it was like Ryback wasn't supposed to win, because it only lasted a good 4 minutes. And I'm like, well, shit. I mean,
well, that's what she said.
Hey, it is what it is. And yeah, so I really have no thoughts on the match. I'm sure Ryback will hold the U.S. title. They're trying to make a thing like, oh, we meant to do this, but they really didn't. So it is what it is. We're going to move on from this.
How the hell are they going to play off of this, though? Because, like, I don't know that they were necessarily, even with the whole look change and shit, I don't know how much that they were actually investing in Ryback to begin with.
I don't think they were. I mean, it's obvious. It's just weird. You know, Vince being accused of being, like, in love with bodybuilders and stuff, you'd think Ryback would get the greatest push of all time, but whatever.
See, Vince can't just do that shit, though, now, because Triple H and other people are going to be like, nah, you can't fuck with. This isn't fucking 1980. You can't
just do shit. He's got muscles, damn it.
He's got muscles inside of his muscles, damn it.
He's got muscles in places. Most people don't even have places.
Wait. Vince, how do you know all of the muscles that he has?
Man. Shut up. Listen here, pal. We're going to go into my office. We're going to do some things.
Don't you have Sean for that?
Shut up!
Whoa. Easy. All right. We're in an odd position because there's a really big elephant in the room, which I don't know where we're supposed to address it because it didn't happen on the card when it was advertised to. So, you know, I decided we're just going to hit it here to open the show. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn did not happen.
No, it didn't.
It was a brutal attack.
I mean, it kind of happened, but not in the sense that you...
I fucking called it ahead of time, too.
Holy shit, a wild last mark standing loser has appeared. Aw, too soon.
Yeah, so basically what happened, let me break down the segment. Sami Zayn was going to do an interview. It was very, like, much in the vein of, like, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins years ago. And even a couple weeks ago on Raw when Kevin Owens attacked Sami Zayn to make sure he didn't get into a title match. Basically the same thing applied. Kevin Owens attacks Sami Zayn, says, hey, you don't belong here. I don't need a match with you. I'm better than you. Whatever. He moved on from it. The match didn't happen. Sami Zayn was carted out. So we get plot progression instead of a match. Is that a good or a bad thing, guys?
It's a bummer, man, because we've seen that before. This Sami Zayn got attacked by Kevin Owens ahead of the Fatal 4 match that was supposed to determine the number one contenders.
I literally just said that. Thank you for parroting me. That's great.
I wasn't paying attention to you, Justin. You don't fucking matter.
Hey, don't you fucking you don't understand. I'm the two-time PWTR co-host, motherfucker.
That is very true, Justin. That is very true.
Only man in history.
But no, it just kind of sucks because there's been so much build-up for this match that to not have a match happen is pretty fucking disappointing. Like, this is a WrestleMania tier feud. We've talked about this before. Like, this was something that stemmed out of the indies that carried over into NXT that should have carried over into the main event roster. And somehow WWE just doesn't want to give it to us when we want it. I don't know if they're trying to carry it all the way to SummerSlam, which would be fucking stupid, but they need to get this shit on the road soon. Because I want to see this fucking match, how it plays out.
I'm cool with it in the aspect that it is pop progression, and it isn't within Kevin Owens' character, so if it just means it's going to be a longer, drawn-out feud to where we can finally get that payoff, which could have been a payback. But if we get, like, an Extreme Rules and, like, a cool-ass match, I'm cool with it.
There's an Extreme Rules?
Yeah, it's coming out in 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah. Quick turnaround.
Why?
They're throwing things at us.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's why. This shit doesn't even matter. Yeah. No wonder this card was so weird.
It is a bizarre card. But it is what it is. So I guess we should talk about the first match. We should talk about the match that takes place, speaking of the card. Manny.
What?
Yeah, the first match that happened on the card was...
The first match that happened on this card?
On Payback. Actually, took place.
I was drunk. What was it?
Well, you know, it was Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler.
Ah! That little... You know, it happened so fast that I don't even remember it.
Do we really have to talk about the pre-show?
The pre-show? We already talked about the pre-show.
Yeah, we talked about the pre-show.
It's Kalisto and Ryback.
Yeah, they had two matches on this pre-show.
So Ziggler and Corbin was on the pre-show? I can't remember.
What, you expect... Yeah, you expect them to have 7 matches in 3 hours plus a segment? They definitely bumped us to the pre-show. They announced it on Facebook, like, 20 minutes before the show started.
Oh, well, at the same... Okay, it was on the pre-show. Well, shit, Manny, you were drunk, and you got me drunk by comparison. So this happened on the pre-show.
By comparison? Did you mean to say by association?
God, you know what I meant, because you just said what I meant. So yeah, this happened on the pre-show, and it was a good 15 seconds. It was a squash. Ziggler jobbed his fucking ass out, because he's Dolph Ziggler, and he can go fuck himself. Baron Corbin moves on the rise. There's not much else to say.
Jeez, dude.
Fuck Dolph Ziggler. He's a bum.
I don't understand all the Ziggler hate that you have.
I'm not the only one. Ziggler, the crowd's turned on him, too.
You got Zack Ryder hate. I just think that you don't like white people with blonde hair.
What?
I think you just don't like white people with blonde hair.
White wrestlers' lives don't matter. I don't think so. Anyway, you guys have anything to say? It was really just a 15-second squash. It wasn't much of anything, except Corbin being Corbin and Ziggler being a bitch.
I'm glad that they redeemed themselves off of Baron Corbin running away from Dolph Ziggler on Raw.
Yeah, we
can forget
that ever happened, so let's not mention that.
Yep. They completely fixed it.
We're done with that. We're moving on.
I really don't understand why we had to have a feud out of a match that Baron Corbin should have won in the middle of the ring and then not be upset with.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Because Dolph Ziggler's a bitch. Anyway...
Kind of a worse. I'm excited to see where Baron Corbin goes from here, though.
He's gonna go right to Apollo Crews.
Probably.
Brandon Corbin might be my favorite wrestler I've never seen. Can you tell me more about him?
Brandon Corbin.
Brandon Corbin.
That's definitely
who's
saying
Brandon
said.
Corbin. I'm pretty you sure did. That you just heard that weird.
Yeah, I said Baron.
No, dude.
You feeling
no,
okay?
No, Manny definitely said Brandon.
I definitely said Baron.
We'll have to go back and listen, fans. Tell me if I'm right, because I don't listen to this shit.
Oh, you want the interaction with the fans now?
Oh.
Ah, fuck them. Yo, just tell me if I'm right.
Ah, fuck them.
I want them to listen to this show, but I don't want to have to listen to it, too. That makes me one of them, and that makes me feel sad about how my life trajectory is went. So if you guys would just let me know or Manny know who was right about that one, that'd be great. Preferably Manny, because I'm not going to tell you whether or not I got your tweet.
Okay, so Manny, if they let me know, then I'll just say that I was right.
All right.
Shut up, Logic.
All right, first match on the actual card was Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy versus the Vaudevillains, which the Vaudevillains ended up winning by help by the Dudley Boys. And the Vaudevillains are now going to face the New Day. The match is pretty good, a pretty solid opener. These two teams mesh really well together, and I really dug the match. You got lots, guys.
It's just so unfortunate that WWE continues down the road of fuckery. You know what I mean? Like, it was just an exciting match before the Dudley Boys got involved, and then they sucked all the air out of the room.
See, one of the things for me is I don't understand why, like, if you're going to push two tag teams, don't put one of them in this tournament. Like, you didn't have to put Enzo and Cass in here to lose. I think it kind of makes them look bad, especially if you're going to give them a feud with a team that they already beat. Like, maybe just don't even have them touch. If you're going to have the Dudleys come out and hit them, then just don't even have them touch ahead of time. Just kind of make this feel something fresh. But I've seen Enzo and Cass win. I feel like the heat for this feud's already over because I've already seen the faces go over once.
Absolutely, and I agree with you 100%. And especially when this is, like, you're talking about Enzo and Cass, a team that we have been waiting as fans for them to win it big for a very long time. They didn't hold the fucking tag team titles in NXT one time, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Nope, never.
Exactly. And so we're just waiting for them to finally go over, and they just continually get fucked by the system. And I don't know if that's a function of where they want to be in this, in their tag team, whether they're trying to tell a story or whether or not it's a situation where WWE just doesn't value them enough. And it's really sad. I want to see Enzo and Cass win at some point.
I think it's okay. I think here in the scenario, Vaudevillains winning, it's like a meaningless win because, you know, New Day's just going to win and we're going to move on from this.
But you don't give a shit about the Vaudevillains, Justin.
I don't mind the Vaudevillains.
I totally said Justin. There was no T in that.
Oh, good. I'm just full of drunks surrounded by it. Anyway,
I think
it's okay because I do want to see Bully Ray. I say Bully. Bubba Ray and Enzo talk on the mic.
Who's drunk now?
I don't know. I want to see him talk more on the mic, so I think this is fine. This is, for one more month, why not? It's going to end up in a tables match at Extreme Rules. Whatever, we're cool. Or maybe it could even extend into a Fatal 4-Way somehow, make it a Fatal 4-Way TLC match. Who knows? It's Extreme Rules, so we'll see.
I still don't understand how it's already happened in two fucking weeks. What's after that?
Battleground?
Jesus.
Already? All right. No, Money in the Bank would happen next.
Ah, okay.
Or they might throw Elimination Chamber at us again, so who knows?
Who's the next Money in the Bank winner?
We can actually answer that question right now. Who do you think? Who do you got to pick?
Already? I don't know. Fuck. Baron Corbin. There you go.
Baron Corbin's not a bad pick. You think Dean Ambrose is in the realm of possibility?
Probably. I don't know what happened to Duke. Duke's going to win the Money in the Bank.
Yep. So, okay, Manny's official pick is Baron Corbin. Mine's Dean Ambrose. We'll see how that plays out later down the line. And if we even remember this. So,
fans will tell us with the hashtag PWTR at some point.
Yes,
but yeah, go ahead.
The next match on the card was Miz and Cesaro.
Yeah, I didn't understand this match going on as early as it did. I thought this would be kind of a nice little moment where if you're going to build up the Divas division and that can't be that match anymore that goes in the middle, like right in between, like you're kind of, like right before your main event, it's kind of a cooler. I didn't understand why this match couldn't go in that exact same spot because, I mean, Cesaro worked his ass off, but I really just didn't think these guys connected in the ring, really.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate. I mean, you know, the Miz came out on top, which is something that I was very much pleased with because I think he's one of the top heels in the company. But he obviously, if you can't work with a guy like Cesaro, you need to work on some things. So,
well, yeah. I don't think it was necessarily that because I think Miz has the skill set. Like, I've obviously been on Miz's side for a long time now, and I've never hidden that from anybody, but I really just thought maybe that these two in particular just didn't pair well together. I think it was more something along the lines of maybe it was Cesaro just now kind of getting back to the ring, or maybe it was just the fact that they hadn't worked a lot of programs together or anything like that, but something about it seemed off, and maybe if we see this feud go farther, we might get something interesting out of it, and I think maybe seeing him at another match or two might benefit this feud a lot more.
I certainly hope so, because, you know, this one was kind of botchy, you know. And you know who really doesn't pair well? Like, I'll take Miz and Cesaro. You know who doesn't pair well? Fucking Maurice and a microphone. That shit doesn't go together at all. Keep her the fuck off of them shits.
It's really weird, because I remember Maurice being so much better when she was in the WWE.
I don't remember. Wait. You say when she was in WWE, like she's not in the WWE now.
Yeah, but when she used to be in it, like before, and she actually wrestled, I remember her being so much better than she is right now. Especially on the microphone. Like, I remember her having, like, talk a couple of times, and, like, she seemed charismatic. Right now, she just... I just don't want to see her on my TV. She's got X-Pac heat. Get her the fuck out of here.
Damn. What do you think, Justin?
I'm gonna take the stance of any match Cesaro loses, I don't talk about. So, yeah. Boom.
You really going down that route?
I am going down that route, damn it. Because I really have nothing
to say
about
the match
anyway. I don't
think you'll be talking for a while, then.
Hey, if that's the case, hey. Uh-huh. I'll plead the fifth. So, okay, after that. Any guys, anything else you need to say on this match? It really was nothing.
No, let's go.
All right, Chris Jericho.
I just thought it got a little bit too much time.
Yeah, it did. Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho. Dean Ambrose ended up winning Dirty Deeds. Once again, this match was a nothing match. I don't know what to tell you guys. But you guys can talk about it. It was a fine, serviceable, whatever, raw match to a T. So,
see, I feel like Chris Jericho almost needed to win this match more than than Dean Ambrose did, and that's really weird to say when you're talking about a guy who needs to establish more credibility in Dean Ambrose. But you just had Chris Jericho win at WrestleMania, and you had him lose to Dean Ambrose like this. This was a feud that I thought maybe could have went a couple more months, and maybe you had Chris Jericho win the first one, and then you had Dean Ambrose come back and win the next two. But I'm really confused on the decision here, because it seems like the feud's over, and I don't
know. Because Chris Jericho
exactly
doesn't have these long, drawn-out feuds anymore. He has, like, 1 to 2 month pops. 1 to 2 month pops with Bray Wyatt. 1 to 2 month pops with AJ Styles. 1 to 2 month pops with Dean Ambrose. And then he's going to go on tour again. When was the last time you legitimately gave a shit about Chris Jericho?
I give a shit about him now because he won at WrestleMania, and I want to see why they gave him that win. You know what I mean? Like, just to have him lose right away the next month seemed really disappointing. I thought maybe they would have given a little bit more build to Dean Ambrose's win, and maybe they would have got another month or two out of it.
See, they gave him the win at WrestleMania just to say fuck you to the indie fans. That's all that was about.
See, and that's really disappointing, especially since you give him the win before at other pay-per-views.
But see, like, and I just don't care about the character. Like, Chris Jericho, the guy, yeah, he's great. But the character hasn't been particularly interesting. I mean, yeah, he does a great job of garnering heel heat when he's in the ring. But he hasn't had any real development in years, I feel like.
I'm so beyond disappointed with this Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho feud so far as well. Because ultimately, like, the most feud is about why does Chris Jericho wear this scarf? And I feel like nothing else was really there. And I feel like with two great mic workers like Chris Jericho and Dean Ambrose, I feel like they could have explored way more. And instead it was, so Chris, why the scarf?
Do you want to know why I wear this scarf? It's an interesting story. My father was a bit of a fashionista.
Oh, you broke Duke.
Oh my god.
All right. Do I dare press on? Or do I
try? All
right, next.
Oh my
god. Make me laugh like the goddamn Joker, Jesus.
Holy fuck. Okay. Oh Okay, let's go.
Next was the Vince McMahon segment where he decided Shane and Stephanie are both running Raw. They have to coexist as a community. Our thoughts on this bullshit.
This is fucking stupid.
It's the most WWE thing ever.
I honestly expected this to main event the fucking show, knowing Vince McMahon is the CEO. This is exactly what I expected. Nothing happened different. Move on.
Well, oh, by the way, I love the fact that my favorite thing about WrestleMania is when Shane beat The Undertaker. It's my favorite fucking aspect about that show now.
Oh, you mean the part where he didn't actually do that? And
but he beat
he's still getting to run Raw?
Are you shitting me? He didn't win? Why is he still there? He has to have won the match, right?
Because all of a sudden, because he jumped off the cage, now Vince McMahon actually respects him?
No, I'm thinking it's all
I don't know.
He forgot the
mistake. I don't know. I just read the Spark Notes on this. It didn't make much sense. It was kind of like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get on to something that kind of mattered. Natalya versus Charlotte. Natalya won with a sharpshooter with Brett at her corner. What the fuck happened, guys?
This was beyond stupid.
Just because Brett was
this was beyond
won.
Stupid.
There's no other way to explain the situation.
Yeah, but I don't understand. How do you win but the title? I don't understand how you win but the title doesn't change hands.
What?
I don't actually understand how this worked. Like, she won with a sharpshooter and it seemed pretty clean, but they said the title didn't change hands.
Type of shit is that?
Yeah.
I think it was that Ric Flair shit, right?
I didn't actually, I thought Bret Hart did a pretty good job of neutralizing him. I don't actually understand. To me, it came off as a pretty much clean finish, but they said the title wasn't, I don't know. I think it was some WWE-esque shit.
And they didn't even restart the match. It just ended right there.
That was weird, because I was 95% sure Natalya was our new champion, and then they just kind of announced.
Because they wanted to give her that moment with Brett being there and him coming off of the prostate cancer and everything.
But they want to give her the belt.
But I gotta say, I was very happy with what happened afterwards with Bret Hart beating the shit out of Ric Flair.
And he played it, god damn it.
He played it. And it doesn't look like we will see him for a little bit. He got carted out on the stretcher and everything. So, yeah. Hope he's actually okay.
I heard he fell face first on that stretcher.
Oh, yeah. But even taking the ending out of the match, it's a pretty damn good women's match. Am I correct, guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Both of these women can go.
It wasn't better than the WrestleMania match, but it was still pretty damn good. I think these two women work well. It's proven they can work well together, and I think it was pretty good, pretty solid. So, yeah.
See, as comparison to the NXT match, I thought it was a little step below, but they weren't given quite as much time. So maybe if we would have seen this story play out a little bit more and have a little bit more time to really see what they're working with, I think they might have got to that same level.
All right, next match.
Plus, was it better or worse than the Roadblock match, though? Let's go off that comparison.
What the hell is Roadblock?
You
mean Speed Bump.
Yeah, Speed Bump. Yeah, my bad.
I don't even fucking remember what happened to Speed Bump.
Oh, you mean Traffic Stop.
Traffic Stop.
You must mean Traffic Stop or Stop Sign or whatever they called it.
Or
Checkpoint.
Or WWE Toll Booth. So it is what it is.
Yield Sign.
Yield Sign is my favorite. It's my favorite one.
WWE Crosswalk.
Well, speaking of crosswalk, we are at a crossroads.
WWE Green Arrow.
I tried my hardest.
I had to wait for those people to turn.
Oh.
Well, on to the main event of Payback 2016. It was Roman Reigns vs. AJ Styles in a pretty solid match, and then, out of nowhere, Bullet Club turns on AJ Styles and Finn Balor debuted. Our thoughts on the new Bullet Club attacking AJ Styles and Roman Reigns still being face, but... He's like, I won. So it's like, why are you here, Roman? So it's like, cool. Thoughts?
First of all, Justin, call them by the right name. They're going by Bulletproof now, okay?
Whatever.
Are they not the Balor Club?
Apparently they're going by Bulletproof. I don't know why but I see the WWE selling merchandise like that. So I think maybe... my ultimate hope for this is once we get to SummerSlam, and this is the only way I really see this paying off a lot, is we get a Shield reunion once Seth Rollins is fully healthy, where we have Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins come back, and they definitely take on this tag team. Because I think going up to it, maybe you have Roman Reigns and the Usos take them on, and they can't get the job done. And maybe you have all these different variations. And then you
gotta
have
the Finn Balor versus AJ Styles match, though. You have to have that match.
See, I'm not entirely sure if they're gonna do it yet or not. Like, I understand why the need is there, but I think maybe first you have, maybe an AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, who has now realized AJ Styles isn't the bad guy here. This would be for Extreme Rules. And then you bring in whatever one of the Usos isn't hurt after that match. So you say AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, and one of the Usos, or maybe you can even put Dean Ambrose there, depending on how you really want to build this, versus Finn Balor versus and... Yeah, versus the Bulletproof. And then you really kind of have that first match to kind of put him over, and now through SummerSlam, you kind of have this giant program where Roman Reigns is trying to find the guys to get through these guys, and now you've kind of got a little bit of leeway in what you do, and eventually it ends with the Shield versus Bulletproof, and honestly, I think Bulletproof would have to go over there, right?
I guess so. I still say that it would have been fucking amazing to turn Roman Reigns heel at this pay-per-view by having him be the leader of the new Bulletproof.
Roman Club.
The Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire.
Roman Club.
Oh, shit.
Or Sword.
That would have been fucking dope. No. Fuck Sword. I wanted Roman Empire. But I really think that this is entirely building up to have to be a Shield reunion once Seth Rollins is good enough to go, right?
See, but what are we doing with Roman, though? Because fans are still booing the shit out of him, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I think
changes if you bring back the Shield, and especially if you put this guy in a way where he can't seem to get one over Bulletproof. I think maybe now you start to make it where this guy seems a little bit more likable because he cannot fucking win. And instead of being the obstacle, now he has an obstacle. And it feels like maybe if the fans get behind him a little bit, he might do a little bit better.
All right, what do you think about the result, Justin?
I didn't give a shit. Because
I haven't given a shit about it.
This was fucking insane.
I'm just sitting here like, I'm not big on Roman Reigns. I'm not big on AJ Styles. I don't know Bullet Club, so I can't, or Bulletproof, sorry. I can't get invested in any of this because I'm not into anything going on, really. So it's like, it happened. It was a fine match. A cool finish. I'll see where it goes.
From an outside perspective, what did you actually think about it once you actually saw it all come together? You've seen this kind of building up for a little bit, and you actually saw everything come together now. What do you think?
I think it was cool. I'm just not that into it from this perspective because I'm not into any of the pieces put forth to make this story. I'm hoping they catch me on the next swing with the next part of the story. So it's like, yeah, that's where I'm standing. Like, I'm thinking it's a good start. I want to see where they go from here. That's my stance. Because at this point, I'm like, it was fine. It wasn't like, oh my god, I need to buy this on Blu-ray because the network isn't a fucking thing anymore. So it's like, yeah, it's fine.
They still sell Blu-rays of this shit?
I think they do, actually.
Wait, so you thought it was a good start, but you're not excited at all? That didn't, even slightly get you excited?
Well, it's tough to say, really.
Justin's like, it was foreplay.
it's kind of like...
So she played with your nuts, but you're still waiting for her to move up to the dick, or what?
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. I think that's a pretty nice analogy. I think that's where we're at. She needs to get right to the dick. But I don't know. It was fine. You guys didn't really talk about the match itself. You were more focused on the finish. I thought it was pretty good. These guys worked well together, which it kind of made sense. You saw glimpses of that on even Raw when they had those... attacks. Like, AJ was laying in some good old punches on Roman because Roman's the kind of guy that's like, yeah, hit me. I think they mesh well. I'd like to see maybe a second match down the line, maybe not at Extreme Rules in a couple
of
weeks.
The strikes meshed well. You know, in the grapples, though, it was AJ carrying him in a lot of those things. Like, Roman was, like we predicted, a little limited in what he was able to do in order to enhance.
Of course, Roman's always going to be limited, but I'm not going to hold that against him at all.
See, I don't think he was as limited as we expected him to be. I thought when he got his offense, it was a lot of fun, honestly. I thought the drive-by, especially when he hit it on the barricade instead of the apron, that was a lot of fun. I thought him going ahead and running through like the Superman punch early on, and then having to come back to it later on to set up the his comeback, as opposed to using it to kind of end his comeback before the spear, was really interesting. And then I thought him hitting the spear somewhat in, like, I don't know what it was, like the 7 minute mark, and then coming back to it later, even though there was a disc, and then like about to win, and then obviously we had Bulletproof come in. I thought all these elements were really interesting to see how they used Roman Reigns as what some people would call limited offense in order to make him pretty effective match that was a lot of fun to watch.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, no one's doubting Roman Reigns as a striker. That's the basis and the crux of everything that he does. Like the drive by and all the punches, the Superman punch, the clothesline, and all that stuff. Even the spear. The spear is a high impact move. That's what he does great. I'm talking about like the grapples, like the power bomb that he was barely able to get off, even though that was AJ Styles and not like Mark Henry that he was trying to pick up or anything like that. Or the Samoan drop that's like the only grapple move that he's really able to do. You know what I mean?
See, I think he's really good. But I think like what a lot of people, I think we have unrealistic expectations for him. Everybody wants to hold him up to the standard of like, not necessarily like a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk. But you want to hold him up to the standard. But everybody wants to hold him up to a standard of being able to do some of that kind of stuff where, realistically, he's a lot more in the mold of like a Stone Cold Steve Austin or a Rock, where you weren't asking them to go out there and deliver a technical class, technical seminar out there, and neither is Cena. But a lot of people, for some reason, I think, expect Roman Reigns to be able to go out there and do that kind of thing, when realistically, this guy is going out there and doing what's best suited for a character that like him to do. I think it's more falls on, all right, if we give him better booking in between shows, now we're talking a lot of things. I don't think it's ever been a problem of what Roman can do in the ring. I think it's what Roman does booking on a week-to-week basis.
I don't know. I got to defend my boy, though. Stone Cold will go in there and give you a five-star classic. He was definitely able to.
It was never a technical Bret Hart-type match, though, with Stone Cold.
No.
That's Duke's point.
One with Bret Hart was.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, you're not expecting Roman Reigns to go in there and do a technical sharpshooter that's absolutely pitch, like, that's absolutely perfect.
You expect
Stone Cold to go out there and do his offense and then hit a stunner and hopefully win the match. And I don't understand why now that we're switching to Roman Reigns, we're expecting anything different.
Why would we get Stone Cold the pass, but we won't give Reigns the pass?
See, wait a minute.
Like, I expect Roman Reigns to entertain me, and Roman Reigns is entertaining.
People hate him a lot. You know what I mean? Cena's limited offense was part of the reason why people didn't like him as a superstar, and he got the mixed reactions and everything.
I'm telling you right now, I think John Cena is a better wrestler than Stone Cold was.
I agree.
As far as like an axe, besides the fact that Stone Cold had that charisma and that absolute that dominance about the way that he was on top in his era, I think John Cena is an actual better technical wrestler than Stone Cold could ever hope.
I will add the caveat.
And show you why you're wrong.
I'll add the caveat that I think John Cena is a better wrestler after Stone Cold's neck injury. Before a neck injury, it's debatable, I think. So
debatable? The fuck?
I think because he was about, the man? Ringmaster. That is true. I can't. He was called that for a reason. So it's like, I think he was better than Cena then, but when we're talking about Stone Cold, when he's at the top of the card and like being the Stone Cold we know and love, his neck injury and stuff, Cena is a better wrestler overall.
No. That's only because he limited his offense intentionally because of the neck injury and everything. What? That doesn't mean he wasn't
intentionally a neck injury. No. You can't say intentionally. A neck injury is what caused him. So he's like, oh, I'm going to do this now because it's better for the story. It was his limitations, which is fine, right? Like, discrediting him at all. We're saying
y'all trying to discredit my man Stone Cold, man.
Speaking of Cena, though, can we go back to that promo we cut of, like, what was it, two or three matches in, where he was talking about how he was going to be back on Memorial Day? And I know we saw kind of a break on it, but I thought it was really interesting to see him come out there, especially being able to kind of like see that this guy really actually cares about coming back again. Honestly, it's weird to see John Cena after an injury because he kind of comes off as a freak of nature. Because
you know what's weird,
this guy is already ready.
You know what's weird to see? And I can't wait till like people get to see this live. I hope that they get to see it live. Is his one arm that's freakishly bigger than the other arm. Like, John Cena has a happy hand. It's fun time.
Yeah, you can definitely tell which hand John Cena used for the last couple of weeks.
I didn't see the Cena promo because my network bootleg had a fatal error, so I didn't get to see that, but...
good old fatal errors.
They happened at WrestleMania for Manny, and they happened for me here. They need to get that shit together, goddammit, but... Yeah, overall thoughts on the show, guys. I think, for me, there wasn't a good-ass match on the card because it took Zayn versus Owens away from me, so I think I came away hating it. So this card can go fuck itself. What do you guys have to say?
It was a pretty nothing card for me. I don't know if they're like gearing up for Extreme Rules or Money in the Bank or whatever the fuck is going on, but this was like a continuation. And it's especially disappointing coming off of a WrestleMania that was a lot of ways in the same vein where you had a lot of shit that was meant to continue the stories and you know, not give a satisfying
conclusion. We got the continuation of the continuation.
Yeah, we got, seriously, we got another continuation, and it's like, oh.
And then we got Styles versus Roman, which I don't get any of the booking behind this card, but whatever, it happened.
See, we got a couple of weird things where I think that, like, certain situations might have made more sense. Like, sure, you want to say, okay, if AJ wins, this happens, but if Roman wins, this happens. With the Shane McMahon and the Authority, like, running Raw, maybe if AJ wins, the Authority runs Raw. If Shane wins, Roman Reigns wins, Shane runs Raw. And you kind of have that kind of a thing to fall on, where these guys obviously are going to compete because they're trying to win the title, but you put something extra on it. And that might have made a lot more sense than just kind of making a random segment.
You think the Authority is going to hitch their star to a TNA star? Please.
No, but I think, like, in this situation, that would have made a lot more sense than just having Vince McMahon come out there, especially since we got all that work before WrestleMania. And I agree. I thought a lot of stuff wasn't really, like, paid back for it being payback. I think that payback's the name of a pay-per-view that should end quite a few feuds, and you should almost kind of be restarting and kind of more maneuvering guys up and down the card based off what just happened after payback. And instead, I feel like we got a lot of matches that have, like, oh, where are we going to go from here with these two? As instead of, okay, where is this character going to go and what's next for this character? So I thought overall this pay-per-view came off as a negative more than a positive because it didn't live up to the name.
It's a glorious name.
You gotta put some respect. You gotta put some respect on that name.
So, yeah, I think we're done here. I don't know how to close this out because it was nothing, so maybe we just close out with nothing.
Nah, man, fuck that. Hey, tweet us with the hashtag PWTR. Let us know if your
payback
experience on Sunday matches up with our payback
experience.
Manny.
I already stopped the recording.
You really stopped it?
Nope. Bye, guys.